grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
The date on the invitation said June 28th, 2009. The party was to be held at the University of Cambridge in England. There were balloons and champagne and food. This was going to be a grand event. And the host was legendary theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking. Now, could you imagine getting invited to a party hosted by Hawking? Right? I mean, prior to his death, he was a scientific celebrity. Even if you didn't know much about physics or science in general, plenty of people wanted to meet him. Right? At one point or another, Hawking rubbed elbows with quite a few other celebrities. People like Bill Gates, President Obama, Queen Elizabeth, Pope Francis, Nelson Mandela, right? None of whom had a scientific mind quite like his, but they still wanted to meet him. So imagine being one of the people who got an invite to an exclusive party hosted by him. When the time came for the party, how many people do you think showed up? How many people were gathered around Hawking in the ballroom? How many people talked to him that night? Can you guess?
100?
Any other guesses?
47.
47?
Random number.
The answer is 0. Nobody showed up. Hawking was there all by himself. Yeah, jaw dropped. How in the world is that possible? Why did nobody show up for a party hosted by this renowned scientist? Well, there is a very simple reason.
Was it after he died?
Nobody knew about it.
Oh.
Hawking didn't send out invitations until after the party was over. Okay, introvert pro-parting tip. That's a great way to have people not come to your party. Send out the invites after it's over. But why did he do that? Doesn't he know that's not how parties work? Well, reading the invitation gives us the answer. At the top of the invite, it said, "You are cordially invited to a reception for time travelers." That's right, Hawking was sending open invitations to any future time travelers. In his explanation of the party, he said this: "I am hoping that copies of the invitation in one form or another will survive for many thousands of years. Maybe someone living in the future will find an invitation and use a wormhole time machine to come back to my party, proving that one day time travel will be possible." He even had this great big banner in the ballroom saying, "Welcome, time travelers." When the party was to begin and nobody showed up, Hawking said, "What a shame. I was hoping a future Miss Universe was going to step through the door."
Aww.
Now, even though nobody showed up to his time traveling party, Hawking did give it one more go. When he died in 2018, anyone was allowed to attend his memorial service by applying for a spot through an online ballot. And the ballot accepted anyone born up to the year 2038. However, of the 12,000 people who applied, none of them were born after Hawking died. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come." In this gospel reading, we hear about a king throwing a big party and nobody showed up. Now, it wasn't because he sent out the invitations after the fact. It was because they all thought they had better things to do. Even though the dinner was hosted by the king, and even though it had the best food around, the invited guests didn't come. They dismissed it. They laughed at it. They were completely apathetic to it. Instead of going to this big party, they just went away. One to his farm, another to his business. The party just wasn't worth their time. Some of the invited guests even went so far as to kill the messengers who were telling them to come. Now, if you're someone living back in Jesus' day, you don't refuse an invitation to a party, especially if it's thrown by a king. Well, it's not because the parties were all that exciting, but because this was the social custom. Right? The entire culture at that time was built around an honor and shame system. So if you received the honor of getting invited to a party, then you did not shame the host by not attending. So in other words, this was less of an invitation and more of a summons. You were expected to be there. But apparently, the guests who were invited to the party just didn't care. Because of that, the king was so furious at those who rejected his invitation, especially those who killed his slaves, that he sent his troops, destroyed their cities, and burned their towns. But then, like Stephen Hawking, the king tried again. This time, it wasn't for future time travelers to attend his funeral, though. Instead, it was an order for his slaves to drag in everybody they could find from the streets, so the banquet hall would be filled with guests. And so it was. And the party was going great. You can imagine the room packed with people. And I bet the king was thrilled to see so many people at his party. Until he spotted a guy who wasn't wearing a wedding ring. The king then promptly kicked him out of the party and threw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, if you're thinking that this parable is a straight analogy, as in the king is God, the son is Jesus, the slaves are the prophets, the destruction of the cities, the destruction of Jerusalem, those from the streets, the Gentiles. If you're thinking that way, then the analogy falls apart real fast when you get to that last scene. Think about the guy who was kicked out. If he was living on the streets, he wouldn't have had fancy clothes for a wedding anyway, right? And what about all the other people from the streets? If they did have fancy clothes, where did they get them? And besides, if the king was so adamant about having his wedding hall packed with people, why didn't he just drag the people from the streets in the first place? And how did the people from the street feel about being at the party? Were they happy to be invited, or were they kind of confused? Did they enjoy the free food, or did they feel like fish out of water? Was it a welcome celebration, or was it culture shock? This parable is not a straight analogy. It's one of the trickier stories that Jesus told. So what do we do with it? Well, it always helps to keep a text in its larger context. Over the past few weeks, we've heard the other parables that have come right before this one. We heard the story about the two sons, who were told by their father to go work in the vineyard, and then they responded in different ways. We also heard about the tenants, who thought that they owned the vineyard that was entrusted to them. Now we get the third parable in the series. All three of them are directed to the religious authorities at the time. They were supposed to be caring for God's people, but instead they weren't doing their job. Not only that, but they thought they had better things to do than what God had called them to do. So today's parable continues the warning that Jesus is giving to them. Jesus is continuing to point out their errors and is calling them to change. And the parable can be a warning for us, too. All right? God's called us to live a certain way. God has called us to participate in what God is doing in the world. God has certain expectations of us. But sometimes we'd rather just do our own thing. We would rather focus on ourselves. We would rather do what's easier and more convenient for us. Yes, there might be a wonderful party going on, but we'd rather focus on our own individual lives. Or sometimes we do come to the party, but we want to participate on our terms. Like maybe we come here on Sunday morning, but then that's all we want to do. We don't want to sacrifice for the good of the mission. We don't want to reach out and invite others. We don't want to commit ourselves to lives of service and obedience and faithfulness that come with being disciples. Right? Sometimes we are like the guy without the wedding garment. At the party, but not really following the rules. I mean, here he is, enjoying the benefits of good food and good company, and he gets caught. When you're at the king's party, you're supposed to abide by the king's rules. But this guy thinks he can just show up, take the free food, and do whatever he wants. That's not how it works at the king's party. When you are at his party, you are expected to live a certain way. So then, where's the good news here? Right, sure, we get it. This is a reminder that God calls us to live a certain way. Fine. That's good advice, not good news. The good news here is the fact that the king won't let anything stop his party. Yes, some people rejected the invitation. Yes, there was judgment upon those who rejected the invitation. Sometimes people thought they had better things to do with their time and their energy and their money than come to the king's party. They didn't think the party was that important. But the king isn't going to let any of that stop him. He's going to have this party whether they participate in it or not. This party will keep going and the doors of the party will never close. As I mentioned last week, God's going to do what God's going to do. We can't stop that. But what we can do is choose to be a part of it. We can celebrate that even people like us have been invited to this party. We can realize that the life God calls us to live is not a burden, but a joy. It's a party for crying out loud. Sure, we have to rearrange priorities and shift things around to go to the party. But as we heard Jesus say a few weeks ago, those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Yes, we often think of ourselves. We often want lives of comfort and convenience and ease. We want to be the ones in charge. But the party still goes on. And we are still invited. the body and blood of Christ are still given and shed for you. Like time travelers from the future, there's an open invitation for all of us. We are always welcome to attend. Always welcome to hang out with the best party host ever. Stephen Hawking didn't have anyone come to his party because time travel isn't possible. But today, we commit ourselves to live in God's party. And at that party, there is abundance and joy and blessing for all. It's a party that we want to invite others to attend with us, because it's a party unlike any other. So come to the feast. All is now ready. In the name of this one who calls us to his party, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.